Cavalcade of Kings. Canute.
Cavalcade of Kings passes slowly on. Phantom figures from the misty ages, pausing a little while to enact once again poignant themes from the mighty drama of England's history, and then moving on. Ethelred, Edmund Ironside slowly disappear as a broad-chested bronze giant with fierce blue eyes and long flaxen hair approaches. He wears the winged headdress of the Vikings and carries lance and shield firmly and proudly. It is King Canute who stands before you. Canute was born in 995 and was the son of Sweyn, king of Denmark, and a beautiful Polish woman. His Denmark in the year 1013, and in the great banqueting hall of King Sweyn's palace, a feast is in progress. The old king sits at the head of his board, surrounded by his Vikings. They have but recently returned to Denmark from one of their many raids on England.
Where is my son Canute? Why has he not joined us in our merrymaking? You, Thorbrand, know you aught of him?
Me, sir? Unless he's gone down to the seaport to watch the building of his new ship. Shall I search for him, sir?
Nay, do not trouble. He will no doubt return when his hunger overcomes his zeal for shipbuilding. Come, drink ye, my brave Vikings. Drink ye and make merry.
Hey, long live King Sweyn!
And a long life to Ethelred of England. For while he sits upon the throne, English silver will continue to pour into Danish coffers. £20,000 he paid us last time. £20,000 to leave him in peace.
The English do not know their strength, sire. If they did, they would not pay the Dane to leave them in peace.
Nay, they would drive him back into the sea with axe and spear, good Thorbrand.
The English hate us, sire.
Aye, but they have no man strong enough to lead them against us. Ethelred's reign is a reign of defeat and shame.
He is not worthy to rule so fair a land, sire.
Thou art right, Thorbrand. And I am tempted to cross the sea once more and take England for Denmark.
Hey, hey!
When do we start?
Not so fast, my lusty fellows. Hast forgotten that Ethelred has but recently paid us £20,000 to leave him in peace? We must hold to our bargain, at least for the present. Later, well, anything might happen. Ah, here comes my son Canute at last.
Canute!
Come, my son, and join in the merrymaking.
Father, this is not the time for merrymaking.
I know of no better time, my son, than the present, when we have £20,000 of English silver lying in our chests. Ethelred so generously gave it to us in return for our promise of a long peace towards them.
Peace! Peace, you say? £20,000 of silver was the price Ethelred paid for the lives of hundreds of Danish settlers in England.
You speak in riddles, my son.
Then I will speak plainly, Father. Our ships had scarcely returned to the shores of Denmark when Ethelred ordered the West Saxons to arise on St. Bryce's Day and massacre every Danish settler in their midst.
Whence came the tidings of such cursed treachery, my son?
A ship bearing some of our people who had escaped the English murderers entered our waters this morning, Father. Just then I heard the foul tidings. They told me that men and women and even children had been pitilessly put to death. And that is not all, my father. Your sister, Gunhilda...
Speak, son, speak.
Her husband and child were butchered before her eyes. And after being tortured in this fiendish manner, she too was slain.
You mean the dogs have murdered Gunhilda?
Yes, father.
But she was one of the hostages for the peace arranged between Ethelred and myself. He would not dare put her to death.
Gunhilda has been murdered, father. And she died calling down vengeance upon the heads of her murderers.
Hey, vengeance!
Gunhilda, my beautiful little sister, murdered.
She was not the only one, my father. We are not alone in our grief. The blood of hundreds of Danish men and women has been spilt by the treachery of the cowardly weakling who sits upon the English throne. The time for feasting is over, I tell you, for we have men's work to do. Let us raise a mighty host and cross the sea in our ships to England. There we shall avenge our dead.
The Danish fleet landed near Exeter and began their war of vengeance. Ethelred and his wife Emma and their two sons fled to Normandy, and Sweyn was proclaimed King of England. A month later he died and left Canute undisputed King of England. Canute banished his first wife, Elgathew, and her two sons, and married Ethelred's widow Emma. At the moment we find Emma conversing with Earl Godwin and some of the courtiers, whilst awaiting Canute's return from a pilgrimage to Rome.
Well, you are in happy mood today, madam.
And have I not good reason to be happy, Godwin? For today, His Majesty returns from his pilgrimage to Rome.
We all rejoice with you, madam. His Majesty has been sorely missed.
Look, my lords and ladies. Even now, the people are gathering in crowds outside the gate of the palace to welcome their king.
King Canute's greatest gift to his people has been that of peace. No wonder they come to do homage to
him. Oh, my lord Duke, His Majesty's aim seems to be the obliteration from men's minds, the bloodshed which marked the beginning of his rule.
I shall never forget how terrified I was of him when he first appeared in England. He came as a Norseman, passionate and revengeful, uniting the guile of the savage with the thirst for blood.
And His Majesty's first acts of government were a series of murders, madam.
Murders? Is this true, Godwin?
Surely, madam, thou hast not forgotten the fate of Edric of Mercia, whose aid gave His Majesty the crown.
Yes, madam. Edric of Mercia was held by an axe at the king's signal.
His Majesty was wise in ridding the land of such a foul traitor as Edric of Mercia, who first betrayed Ethelred, my late husband, and who, doubtlessly, would have betrayed Canute when it suited his purpose to do so.
A murder also removed Edwig, the brother of Edmund Ironsides, and...
Peace, Godwin. Have done with your talk of murder, lest I begin to suspect you also of treachery to your king. Whatever happened in the past is best forgotten, and we will think only of the present.
I meant no harm, madam, for truly His Majesty has changed from a savage into a wise and temperate king.
And I love him.
As do we all. What say you, my lords and ladies?
He, my lords and ladies, His Majesty approaches upon a black charger at the head of his retinue. Look, the people are crowding around him. They seek to kiss his stirrup.
His Majesty has ridden through the gates of the palace and is now dismounted.
Soon shall I be folded close to his breast.
Make way! The king approaches!
Peace be upon you, my lords and ladies. Emma, my darling wife.
Canute. Oh, my dear one, how good it is to see you again.
Kiss me, my beloved.
Not before our courtiers, Canute.
My courtiers are the quintessence of discretion. See, they have all discovered an object of mutual interest in the courtyard below. Now kiss me. I've waited many weary months for the sweetness of your lips.
I love you so much that it hurts like a knife in my heart. Truly, love is a tyranny.
But a sweet tyranny, my beloved, because the lover endureth his torments willingly.
For 20 years, Canute reigned peacefully and prosperously, well beloved by all. At the moment, we find him walking by the seashore with Godwin and his cottage.
Oh, it is good to be alive this fair spring morning, to see peace and industry around us, to hear the ring of the woodman's axe in the forest, the lowing of the farm cattle, and the sound of the gentle waves breaking upon our free shores.
Thou, sire, alone has made possible this scene of tranquility.
I have but tried to keep my vow to God. And if I have done aught beyond what was just, through headiness and negligence of youth, I am ready with God's help to amend it utterly.
Thou canst do anything, sire. Nothing is impossible to your majesty.
Oh, have done with your flattery, my lord duke, for I want none of it.
Sire, I but speak as my heart directs.
Then I must prove your heart to be a liar. come. Set my chair at the edge of the sand, close to the water. Closer, so that the waves may lap the hem of my garment. Ah, 'tis done. Now I shall seat myself upon my chair and bid the impertinent waters recede. This far shall you come, and no further. You see, my lord Duke, what is the might of any earthly king compared to that of the Creator, who could say to the sea, this far shall you come, and no further, and be obeyed.
Sire, the rebuke was well earned.
Come, we shall go aboard the barge, and ye shall row me across the vast fen waters, so that I may hear the monks of Ely chanting in their abbey. 'Tis good to hear their voices.
They have good reason to sing, sire, since you have restored their religious houses, and leave them to dwell in peace and plenty. 'Tis said by all that merrily chant the monks of Ely when King Canute rode by.